Get the gods, the drugs, from my generation, I'll take the fall. The saints, and across the nation, and it's a sin. The gods, the beast, the fraud, the messing with me. Come on, come on, come on.
Hey everybody, this is Brian Scott from the Union Undergrounds, and you're listening to That Metal Interview Podcast.
An Education in Rebellion is the title of the album that brought these guys to the forefront of the music industry in the 2000s. And I want to say this is the year 2000. I'm speaking of the Union Underground from the great state of Texas, where I'm from. And these guys are from San Antonio. And we have Brian Scott on the show on this episode of That Metal Interview Podcast to promote the brand new tour, which is gonna kick off in March in San Antonio, coincidentally, at the Rock Box. So it's called Back to the 2000s Used Tour alongside Soil. If you guys recall Soil from the 2000s also. So log on to their socials and check out the tour dates and go support the band, right? Support Brian and the guys. And right now, let's check out something from that album, An Education in Rebellion. This is South Texas Death Ride. Check it out.
Justify, call a body for sympathize.
The Union Underground. That was South Texas Death Ride from their album An Education in Rebellion. And it's not Rob Zombie, guys. It's been compared to Rob Zombie. And I do ask Brian to see how he feels when people have compared him to Rob Zombie's music. And he answers that question right there. So let's go to the interview with Brian Scott, frontman and the mastermind behind the Union Underground. Check it out. Enjoy. So first question, where are you at and what part of the planet are you at?
I am at the moment in San Antonio, Texas.
All right, very cool. I'm in Eagle Pass, Texas.
Well, oh, right on. Cool. Yeah. Yeah, I've been through Eagle Pass many times.
Yeah, just around the corner, huh? Yep. So back in the 2000s tour, a U.S. tour, right, kicking off in March here with Soil. Are you guys excited?
Oh, man, yeah. We've been wanting to do this for, you know, probably 2 or 3 years now, so it finally just all came together where the timing worked out for everyone, and yeah, man, everyone's super excited about it.
Any rehearsals yet, or when does that start?
Yep, we started rehearsals on February 1st, so, you know, we'll be rehearsing for the whole month. But most of my guys we're all in different states, so, you know, we have to schedule rehearsals accordingly, you know.
So who all's in the band nowadays? Can you fill us in on who are the band members?
Yeah, I have Todd Osterhaus on guitar, Diego Ibarra and Ashes on bass, and Bones Elias on drums.
Blas Elias?
Bones Elias.
Bones, yeah. Elias. Okay, I thought you meant Blas Elias, the guy from Slaughter and TSO. Yeah, very cool.
Oh, no. Yeah.
Rhymes too and everything. Cool.
Yeah.
What can fans expect on this tour, Brian? Any surprises?
Yeah, you know, we're going to do... So the theme of the tour is basically for all the bands involved to play, you know, the majority of their first record, which is, you know, why it's thinking back to the 2000s. So
yeah,
we're gonna play all of Education Rebellion, and then a song called Across the Nation that wasn't on that record, and then a couple of new songs that'll be on the new record. So that'll be a cool treat for people, like, you know, that haven't heard any new material yet, to be able to hear some new songs.
And why with Soil? Is it because of the same era you guys were out about the same time back then?
Yeah, and we did a lot of shows with those guys back in the day too. So we just have some history with them, and Tim and Adam from Soil and I have a side project as well called Into the Fire that we toy with occasionally. And so we're all friends, man. And Tim actually pitched me the idea. We've been trying to do something for a couple of years. And my agent also, Alex, has been trying to get me and Soil to do something for a couple of years. So it all just came together. And Tim liked the idea of, you know, the Back to the 2000s theme with that, which I thought was kind of cool. And yeah, man, we just started putting it together, and it came together pretty quickly once everyone, you know, green lighted it.
Wow, very cool. So what made you, you've done a couple of comebacks here with the band before, 16 and 20 and so on. What made you bring it back again, Brian? Is it fan requests, or is just something popped into your head and, you know what, let's try it again? Or what's your inspiration here?
Yeah, I mean, you know, we didn't really do like a real comeback yet until we put out a new record. We just, you know, over the years, we've done kind of some shows here and there, little festival shows here and there when you know, just the opportunity's right. So this was just something to, you know, we're kind of wrapping up new music and, you know, plan on releasing something later in the year. So we just wanted to get on the road, you know, reintroduce people to Rebellion, and, you know, and introduce, you know, a new generation of people
right
to that first record as well before we put out new stuff.
Yeah, that's over 20 years old by now. Maybe about 20,
yeah,
20 something?
23.
Wow.
Yeah.
So if a kid was 14 back then, he must be in his mid to late 30s, maybe, by now.
So yeah, and he'll probably be bringing his kid to the show. So, yeah.
Right.
It's a family affair at this point.
The first time I heard you guys back in the day, I seriously thought it was Rob Zombie. But, of course, you got your own twist in there, your own vocal twist and your style. Are you offended by that, those kind of comments, or how do you take that?
No, not at all. I mean, I was a fan, and still am. I've always been a fan of Zombie, and you know, I mean, there was a lot of sometimes when there's just kind of a burst of a certain sound, and there's a lot of bands kind of that may sound similar, and there's just kind of a certain thing going on at a certain era. You know, you're going to find things that sound similar. I mean, I'm not offended by that at all. I mean, I love Zombie stuff. You know, Rebellion's, the cool thing about Rebellion, that record's very eclectic, you know.
Oh, yeah.
There's a big mix of influences on there, you know, which is what I like about it.
That's a very cool record. Fans have been waiting for a new album. Any plans on that? Any new stuff in the works?
Yeah. We're going to do this run in March. It's back to the 2000s tour. And then in the summer, we'll take a break to finish up the new record and then release, you know, probably a single at least before the end of the year. And then we're going to do a run in the UK in November, which I wish I could. I can't really talk about the details yet because it doesn't get announced till next week. But we are doing a UK run in November, so that'll be super cool.
Nice.
We've been waiting to get over there for, you know, a long time.
Yeah, that was one of my questions. Any overseas gigs, tours, Latin America, stuff like that? There you go. UK stuff.
Yeah. UK in November, and then, you know, 2025, we'll probably, 2025, we're going to do, like, a full North American tour for sure, you know, behind a new record.
Wow, very cool. So for the fans and people that don't know, some people know, some don't. How did you guys get signed? I mean, of course, we know who you are. You're the pride of San Antonio for sure, pride of Texas. I heard there was some demos that you guys did, and it got into the right hands or something like that. But can you talk about how you guys got the break, I guess?
Yeah, you know, a lot of times people think it's kind of an overnight type of thing, but it was really a long process. We had released a record on our own, and we're just kind of, you know, selling it to friends and selling it around at shows that we play and stuff like that. And it just kind of started getting a lot of traction. You know, people started noticing it. And at some point, we hooked up with the management company that pitched our, well, we did, you know, the Sony thing was, the last in line as far as, like, we did so many showcases for. And this goes back to that. People think it happens quickly. I mean, we did so many showcases for so many labels, and they passed, and they passed, and they passed, and they passed.
Really?
And then finally, Sony was just really excited. You know, the reality is it just takes one person somewhere to really champion your project to get it moving, you know? All it takes is that one important person that is a huge fan that can get some things done. And we had some huge fans over at Sony Music. So, we probably did four showcases for those guys total before they finally, you know, gave us the green light. So it was a long process, you know.
Wow.
Well, yeah. I mean, it can kind of seem to people like it's you know, an overnight thing, but it was not at all. You know?
Right. Some people don't realize. Getting signed is just the start of the battle, right? I mean, you got to come up with hits, I guess, quote unquote, and you got to be out there promotion. And once you got a hit out there, you got to, I guess, maintain, huh?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the getting signed part is just the, you know, that's step one, you know. Now you got to go make it all happen.
Wow. So how did it feel, Brian? I'm a local musician here, just local stuff, you know, covers bands and stuff. Nothing pro like you guys. Mm-hmm. How did it feel when you finally got signed? And you're like, damn, this is every musician's dream, every band's, every kid's dream. You get signed by a label, and this is our chance to get out there and to the world, you know. How did that feel?
Oh, man, it was amazing. I mean, you know, that's what I had dreamed of since I was, you know, in sixth or seventh grade. You know, as soon as I started playing guitar, that's just was my entire focus for the rest of my days. You know, it was just that or nothing. So, you know, it was amazing, you know. I mean, it's every kid's dream, you know.
Yeah.
Every kid's rock and roll dream anyway, right?
Right, wow. Videos and stuff, MTV, Ozfest, yeah. Ozfest, right?
Yeah, we did Ozzfest 2001, which was fantastic, man. I mean,
wow.
2001's kind of known as like the best lineup, you know, of that whole touring series.
For sure, yeah.
It was a really cool year. There were a lot of good bands, a lot of bands just breaking out, you know, Mudvayne, Drowning Pool, Linkin Park, you know, Disturbed was on their first record. We were on our first record. It was just a lot of cool launching pads for everybody, you know. 2001 was fantastic, Ozzfest.
Yeah, for sure. I missed that tour. I saw the O2 one with System and I think Slayer or, you know. But anyways, well, yeah, O1 is known as one of the most, yeah, what you said right there, yeah, one of the best tours, lineups and all that, yeah, for Ozzfest. So how did you feel still being fairly new to the business, to the market, if you will, being out there amongst, you know, rubbing shoulders with all those bands, you know, how did that feel? You must have been a little bit starstruck, right?
Oh, for sure, yeah. I mean, to go from, you know, a year before that, playing, you know, just kind of clubs around Texas and,
yeah,
you know, just doing our thing as much as we could to, you know, eating lunch with Ozzy on Ozzfest. Yeah, it's a big change.
Wow, you got to do that. Wow.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
What an honor. How is Ozzy? How is Sharon in real person? I mean, we see the podcast, we see the TV shows and all that, but is that the real Ozzy and Sharon, or is there a different color to that?
I mean, you know, honestly, I didn't get a chance to hang out with them enough personally to really, you know, see if there's any kind of a difference. But they seemed pretty, I mean, Sharon was always very nice, you know, but very, very all about business, of course. And, you know, which is fine. And Ozzy was just always very gracious and, you know, accommodating and to hang out and talk with you. You know, he's just a super nice guy.
So, obviously, some of your ex-members went off in separate ways, and I believe Patrick is with Lita Ford, right?
I knew he was. I don't know if that's still, you know, I haven't spoken to him or Josh in a long time, so, you know, I'm not sure what they're doing currently. I still talk to John, and I know he's in Disturbed,
yeah,
of course, and, John's been doing great. Like,
Disturbed, yeah, of course.
We just chatted a while back, and he's, you know, he's just still loving being in the band.
Wow, rock star for sure, right there. Nice.
Yeah.
I interviewed Nikki Stringfield, that girl guitar player, and she's married to Patrick. And yeah, she's the one that told me that he's playing with Lita Ford. I didn't know that. I put the connection together, you know, Union Underground and Patrick and Lita right there. I was like, wow, this is the guys from San Antonio. Cool. But anyways, do you keep in touch with those guys? You just said you talked to John. Yeah. How about Patrick?
No, I haven't spoken to him in probably 20 years. And Josh, Josh did actually a show with Union Underground.
Yeah.
In 2017. But I'm like you, man, my allergies are killing me today.
Right. So something going around.
Yeah. I haven't spoken to him in a while either. I mean, I think he, you know, Josh just kind of has some personal stuff he's dealing with, and, you know, I haven't really spoken to him lately. So it was just better that we, you know, that I kind of moved on from that situation.
Okay.
And, you know, but we're still friends, you know, with Josh. And I talked to John as well.
So I wanted to ask you, Brian, what's behind the name? Typical question of the band name. Who came up with that, and what's behind that?
You know, there were so many. We had so many kind of versions of it, and we were playing with the drummer at one point that suggested the name Groove Union, right?
Okay.
Which we didn't really like the name Groove with the name Groove, but I always liked the Union thing, and I've always been a big fan of the name The Velvet Underground.
Oh, yeah.
And it's really just, you know, you kind of replace a couple of words and there it is.
Right, there you go.
I just love the way it sounded, yeah.
Yeah, it's a badass name, yep. So what's a day like for you, Brian? I understand you have a studio. I'm not sure if you still got that. I've seen several interviews where you talk about that. And what's a day like for you? Do you record? Do you write songs? I'm sure you're on your phone with your agents and stuff like that, right?
Yeah, I mean, it can be, you know, especially when you're doing putting together a tour like this, it's a full day every day, just you know, constant correspondence, of course. But, you know, typically I do produce other projects here and there, and not currently. I'm not taking on any projects because, you know, I'm just super busy with this thing. But yeah, typically I'm always in the studio. You know, that's kind of my typical day. Just always toying around with something, and you know, always online promoting. I have a project called Cult to Follow that I'm, you know, heavily involved with as well. Okay. So, you know, I'm always working on that stuff. So yeah, man, it's a full day of madness.
Right, the life of a musician. So what's on your playlist? Yeah. What do you listen to? Is it just rock metal, or do you listen to other types of genres?
I do. You know what? I do listen to all kinds of stuff, because I listen to different things for different reasons. You know, because I am a producer, so sometimes I'll listen to things that that I think the production is just sonically is great. I might not necessarily like the songs, but I'll listen to things that I just think the production sounds really good, or I'll listen to things that I just really like the songwriting. You know, even if it's not in the rock or metal genre, you know, just think the songwriting craft kind of extends to all genres. You know, so I can appreciate, like, even obnoxious, you know, pop stuff that I probably wouldn't listen to. I'll listen to some stuff occasionally just because I think the production's cool, or it's a producer that I follow his work, you know, that kind of thing. So yeah, it's kind of all over the place.
Okay, so you listen to music as a musician, as a producer. Okay, do you listen to music as a fan, or just as a, you know, the other side of the brain, as they say, just as a regular listener?
Oh yeah, for sure. I mean, you know, I love, like, I don't dig into a lot of newer stuff, like, yeah, especially with the kind of the newer metal stuff. I just don't really, not a huge fan of, like, a lot of the modern metal stuff. And I'm kind of more of a, I kind of stick to just old classics, man. When I just want to put something on just for listening,
yeah,
I just go for stuff in the 70s, you know?
There you go, yep.
You know, just old Sabbath, and love old Zeppelin stuff, and Tom Petty, you know, just, I love that kind of stuff. So, yeah, I'm a big 70s hound, you know?
For sure, good stuff. So give us your best gig and your worst gig so far, Brian, all together.
Let's see.
A lot of bad gigs, a lot of good gigs.
We've done, yeah, I mean, you know, in the early days, you do a lot of bad gigs, of course, you know.
Yeah.
But I think one of my, you know, fondest memories, we did a big festival in, I think this is 2001, maybe 2002. But it was a big festival in Florida, and I cannot remember the name. I think we were in Miami somewhere. But it was a big outdoor festival. Stone Temple Pilots, Deftones. Who else was playing that day? There were a lot of bands, but we were lucky enough to get a great spot. Like, it was at the end of the night, it was Union, Stone Temple Pilots, and then Deftones. So that one, I was just a fan that day. Like, I got to kind of live out my dream and play a show in front of, I think there was 100,000 people there. It was huge.
Wow.
And so I got to do that for my set, do my job, and then for the rest of the night, I was just a fan watching these other bands, you know.
Yeah, but I remember, as well.
I always remember that night, because I literally, like, right after my set, like, I was crowd surfing and just being ridiculous and, like, acting like a kid. And that memory always sticks with me, you know.
Oh, very cool.
That was one of the best, like, God, some of the, one of the worst ones. I don't remember the name of the venue, but at the time we had these, you know, this was before, like, LED lighting, right? So we had all these, this crazy rig of lights that you had to, like, tie into the power in the back of the venues.
Yeah.
You know, you know, these flame pod things and stuff that just causes all kinds of problems with electricity. But the very first song, so by halfway into the first song, we blew the power to the entire venue. Like, it just blew out.
No right? way.
The breaker in the back just blew out.
Wow.
So, and it wasn't fixable. It wasn't like, hey, let's just go flip the breaker, right?
Wow. So that's it. Go home.
I mean, that's it. We're done. So, you know what we did, though? Well, I say the worst gig, I say, yeah, that was kind of, but it ended up being actually a really cool night, because what we did is we just invited everyone to stay. It's like, hey, listen, we can't continue the show for obvious reasons. We're all in the dark.
Wow.
And, you know, all the machine, you know, everything shut off in the whole place where it gets complete darkness. So we just sat around with everybody. We invited everyone to stay, and we just all sat around and we sang some songs acoustically and just signed stuff for everybody and just hung out for a couple hours. And then, you know, finally, I think the fire marshal came and, like, you know, had to get everyone out of there because, you know, just for safety purposes.
Wow, what a horrible situation.
Yeah, but, you know, what's funny is a lot of people just love the experience because we really just, it was like we were just all kind of hanging out in our living room with a couple hundred people, you know, in the dark, singing songs and just fucking around, you know.
Wow, what a story. So looking at the different timelines here, you guys were out there in 2000s. How do you see the business nowadays, Brian, in 2024? What's different? Obviously, the internet is more advanced, of course. But as far as business, the music business, what do you see different here?
I guess the most significant difference for someone trying to, you know, put out new material or just start their thing from scratch, there's these days, there's so many avenues to get your work out, you know, to the public than there used to be. And now, you know, it's kind of a DIY world where, you know, everyone can just kind of do it themselves, you know, and you can put your record out straight from your bedroom if you want to, you know.
Exactly.
I think because of that, you maybe lose out on some quality, you know, because of the quantity, right?
Right.
Because no one has to go through, like back in the day, you had to prove yourself on so many levels before the public ever heard your music.
Right.
You know, and now it's like you don't have to prove anything. You can just, you know, launch it yourself and put it on Spotify. There it is. You know, there's no proving ground anymore. Just anybody can put out anything, which is good and bad, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that was one of my questions, but you answered right there. I mean, do you think new bands nowadays can make it on their own with social media, or do you need a record label? But there you go. You can do it on your own, huh?
You can. I mean, there's a lot of very successful independent artists, you know? I mean, and the funny thing is, there's a lot of levels to it. I mean, just because your name or your face isn't on the cover of everything, and, you know, you're not being interviewed by TMZ every time you get out of a car.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. I mean, you can still make an amazing living. And no one, you know, people might not even ever know your name. That's the difference now. You know, that didn't exist like that back in the day.
Wow, technology, huh? Things change.
Yeah, it's crazy.
So what's next on your agenda today, Brian? What's going on in your life today?
I have three more of these, a couple of, you know, three more podcast things.
Yeah.
And then, you know, back to business with the, you know, I'll be on the phone with probably 9 different people today, just, you know, figuring out tour stuff. You know, it's a daily process.
Nice business, huh? So where can people...
We're putting on quite a production for this tour. So, you know, there's a lot involved.
That's going to be badass. I'll go check you guys out at the Rock Box for sure. I'll be there. So,
oh, good, man.
Yeah.
Is that the closest spot for you?
Yeah. I think that's the closest one. Yeah, that's still your first gig, huh, for the tour. Perfect.
Yep. March 1st.
I'll be there for sure. So where can people find you, Brian, on social media? Is it the Union Underground, or is it abbreviated? Or
Yeah, most social media, you know, theunionunderground.com is where you can go to. You know, that's the main hub, and you can find all the social stuff there as well. But yeah, if you just search, you know, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, it's all just the Union Underground.
Perfect. Before I let you go, would you like to send a message to your friends and fans listening?
Yeah, you know, just want everyone to know that we will definitely be releasing new music very soon, and to be sure and come out and check us out and, you know, when we hit your city.
Perfect. Well, thank you for your time, Brian. You're a cool guy. You're not big-headed or a rock star attitude. You're very cool, down-to-earth guy. So keep rocking and keep bringing the kill, you know, the badass music, and we'll see you at Rock Box for sure.
Hey, thanks so much, man. I appreciate it.
And so we are expecting a new album, new material, as Brian talked about. finally, fans have been waiting for a brand new album or EP, whatever that might be. It'll be a treat for us new metal fanatics and Union Underground fanatics, and we are just happy that they are back in the game on tour this March 2024. So go check them out. Check out the tour dates, theunionunderground.com. Find them on social media and support the guys. Go to the merch booth, purchase merchandise, as I always say. And of course, if you can't make it to the gig, go to their merch stores online and support the guys, okay? So anyways, thank you, Brian. Thank you for making time and being a very cool person, a very cool rock star, and sharing some stories from Ozzfest and different tours that the Union Underground has been on. And very cool best and worst gig story there. Very cool, man. So we'll see you guys at the Rock Box. I'll be there checking out the Union Underground. And you guys should go check them out. It's a whole month of March alongside Soil. So check it out. As far as the podcast, thank you guys for supporting us. Thank you for liking us, following us, and subscribing to our YouTube channel. Don't forget to ring the bell for notifications. So excuse my voice one more time. I'm still getting better and better. But anyways, don't forget to keep it metal. That metal interview.